This is a special Sound Off Extra. I am the Solemn Monster, and we are 48 hours away from what is likely going to be the weirdest WrestleMania of all time. Relocated from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, among other locations. Apparently they're going to be taping from a few different locations depending on the match. And we have a WrestleMania this year. That, and by the way, shout out to everybody in the chat. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday afternoon. Rare stream here on a Thursday. Figure why not run through this WrestleMania card. And I'm sure a lot of you might be bored. You might have nothing better to do. So I figure why not talk about WrestleMania. So again, shout out to everybody in the chat. I see Wrestling Soup is in the chat. We got a lot of people hanging out there. But you know, we have a WrestleMania this year with an empty arena, right? No audience, bunch of empty seats, taped, first taped WrestleMania that we've had in history. We've got WrestleMania being taped for the first time over the course of two nights, right? All these firsts, all these different things that we're going to be getting. And Rob Gronkowski, kind of the cherry on top, right? Rob Gronkowski is going to be the host of WrestleMania. So no fans, taped, two nights, Rob Gronkowski. I'm not really sure which is worst. I guess you can try to rank them. But I want you to take a look at something. Take a look at this. This is a new piece of apparel that is on the WWE shop website right now. Because they've had a whole bunch of shirts. They're trying to be cute with this, right? So they have a bunch of shirts that says, I was not there. The whole thing with WrestleMania in the past, I was there. So now, of course, nobody is allowed in. So it's, I was not there. And this is the new shirt that they put up just in the last few days. It is WrestleMania in your house. Which I actually think is kind of clever. I used to be a big mark for the In Your House shows. Those were the pay-per-views that were only 2 hours in length. Don't you miss those days? 2 hour pay-per-views. Anyway, you can buy that shirt. It's a real thing right now on WWE Shop, for those of you who may be interested. This is the WrestleMania prediction show here on the Sound Up channel. Now, we have SmackDown left tomorrow night. I could have waited. I was like, yeah, should I wait until after SmackDown, do it Friday night? I didn't want to wait. I figured, you know, I like doing these prediction things a few days beforehand. So we do have one show left. I guess that would be the go-home show, the ultimate go-home show before WrestleMania. And I have tried to incorporate a lot of the changes that we are aware of. There have been changes to the card. It's possible there are changes that none of us are aware of. Maybe it's being kept secret under wraps. So I tried to incorporate as many of those changes as I could. There are going to be spoilers here, not match spoilers. I have not seen them. I do not want to know them. No match spoilers. No creative spoilers, nothing like that. But there could be spoilers in terms of changes to the card. So if you don't want to be, you know, if you don't want to be informed about any of that stuff, turn the stream off. But I'll be getting into that. And since SmackDown hasn't aired yet, we'll see. You know, we'll see how they're going to get around the whole, you know, Goldberg-Roman Reigns thing. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But again, I wanted to do this today. Super chats are open. As you can see, they're already streaming in right now. So if you want to join in on the Super Chat party here this afternoon. We had a great night last night during the AEW Dynamite stream. I want to thank everybody who was part of that. That was a lot of fun. You can see in the description down below some of the, you know, the bigger super chats and some of the animations and stuff. But really, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to give. You'll see random super chats popping up here throughout the stream, including all the special ones. So those will be popping up here as we go along. Let me actually read some of them now before we fall too far behind. By the way, what do you think of the whole, like, I usually don't go on video for these things. I figure, why not? We'll make an exception. This time we'll go on video. What do you guys think? Something different, right? Dimer, thank you for the $2 Super Chat, listener, since episode 84. Wow, 84, I'm trying to think. 84. Well, I started this at the end of 2007. So, was that early 2009, maybe? It's a long time. That is a long time. Dimer, yes, I see you in the chat. Shout me out. Shout you out. Yes, I just shouted you out. Don't worry. Ismael Flores. Hey, we saw him last night during the Dynamite stream. Good to hear from him again. Said, pray for me. Somebody at my job tested positive, yesterday for you know what. And I barely found today. Also, Solomonster, who do you think AEW should sign? Well, we'll talk about AEW later. We'll take phone calls later. We'll get into all that stuff. Stay safe. That's no joke. Don't play around with this stuff. All this craziness that's going on. I want everybody just to stay home if you can. Stay safe. Not everybody can. And we heard from somebody last night who works in the medical field who actually was part of the stream last night. And it's scary. You know, especially here in New York, there's a lot of really scary stuff happening. So I hope everybody can just stay safe wherever you may be. We have people all over the world watching this right now. Paul Montgomery, thank you very much for the super chat. I appreciate that. All the way from Scotland. All the way from Scotland. Okay, Fabe. Connor, shout out to Okay, Fabe. You can see him on Fight TV. Nicholas Jacobs, thank you for the super chat. Andrew Lima, my goodness, we're already falling far behind here. So we'll pick up with this again in a few minutes. This Monday, this Monday is the Raw after WrestleMania. Usually it's a big deal, right? Oh, it's the Raw after WrestleMania. All the excitement, everyone's going crazy. That could well be the last WWE event, live event that we see for a very long time. I believe they have the matches for next week's NXT taped. That would be the April 8th episode. I think that's in the can already. They were taping some takeover matches that are going to be airing on NXT television these next few weeks. So I think that's all taken care of. After that, that could well be it. That could well be it for some time. The governor of Florida issued a stay-at-home order statewide, covering the entire state, which means WWE would be included in that, basically telling people to stay home. Stay home, only leave for essential reasons, essential items. You want to go grocery shopping. Otherwise, this is blanket, statewide. I believe it might only be for 30 days, but it could be extended. So we don't know yet what impact that might have on WWE's taping schedule. If they're going to continue to do empty arena shows at the PC, I just would have to guess that they're not going to be able to, but wouldn't put it past them to try to get around it. I'm sure if they could find a way to do it, Vince McMahon would love to find a way to get around that. But it could end up being extended. But look, if there was going to be an off-season, right? If they were going to be forced into doing an off-season, which I know they don't want to do, but if they were going to do it, now's the time, right? You got WrestleMania coming up. Post-WrestleMania is, I always thought to myself, if they're going to have a postseason or an off-season, WrestleMania is the big climax of the year. Take 2-3 months off. I could think of a worse time. So maybe the time is right for them to shut things down for a little bit. And the decision may not be theirs. You know, it may not be their decision to make. We'll see what happens, you know, if... look, safety has to come first. Safety has to come first. You know, that's why Roman Reigns pulled out of his Universal title match against Goldberg. You know, he said so himself on Instagram. He basically, he admitted, you know, yeah, I pulled out of WrestleMania. I got to think of my family. I got to think of my kids. Of course, it shouldn't have been Roman Reigns to pull himself out of WrestleMania. Let's be honest here. I mean, WWE should have had enough foresight to, you know, have sort of put their foot down and did that on their own. I mean, here's a guy who, well, I don't even know if I want to get into this right now or not. But anyway, he has been replaced. Roman Reigns has been replaced in the Universal Championship match by who? We'll get into that a little bit later. I'm not going to give it away yet. You all know anyway, but... those of you who do not know, we are going to get into that a little bit later on. I already know who it is. Now, we know the run times for both nights of WrestleMania. This news comes right from the WWE Network. So, they've already taped the show. It's their network. Maybe it goes a little longer, maybe it goes a little shorter, but here's what we know. Saturday and Sunday. So, April 4th, April 5th. There's a one-hour pre-show for both nights, so there's a one-hour kickoff starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 7 Eastern, the show goes on the air, 7 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. So that is the runtime. chat's going wild. 7 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. both nights, okay? 3 hours and 15 minutes, 4 hours if you count the kickoff show. So if you include both kickoffs, that is 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours. of Empty Arena WrestleMania this year at the Performance Center. And I will be here live both nights. Saturday night, I'll be here as soon as WrestleMania Night 1 goes off the air, right back here on YouTube. I don't know if I'll be on video, but I'll be here streaming. And then Sunday night, after Night 2 of WrestleMania, I'll be back here as well. To recap all of the results, good, bad, or indifferent, right? Good, bad, or ugly. We'll be here to talk about that. And there'll still be a regular sound-off. I'm squeezing one in, episode 646 on Sunday. Look, we got to cover Dark Side of the Ring with New Jack. We got to talk about that crazy SOB. That was disturbing. I was texting with a friend of mine earlier. He said, you know, I saw the Dark Side of the Ring episode on New Jack. And he didn't really know. He didn't really know from ECW or New Jack or anything like that. He's a casual fan. But he said he watched it. He watched the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and he had trouble sleeping because he was so mortified and disturbed by what he saw in the New Jack special. So that kind of gives you a sense of how that was. So we'll talk about that. RSPW Rewind is back. I got you guys covered. Don't worry. You got plenty of sound off coming up this weekend. I got to talk about the WWE Fan Council survey, and I will talk about that here in just a second, but let me play catch up here. Christian, thank you for the $5. Speaking of Mania, whatever happened to Bray and Brock at WrestleMania 32? Well, I mean, what happened to Rock and Triple H? That was going to be the main event of WrestleMania 32, and we never got it. I wanted that. I wanted Triple H and The Rock at WrestleMania 32. That long feud in the late 90s would have been a nice way to cap off their rivalry, and then it just didn't work out. So you could add that to the scrap heap of matches that just didn't pan out. Wavy Davey, thank you. Checking in from Brooklyn. Paul Hamilton, the Portland pop star, one of the big supporters, benefactors of the show. Thank you to Paul. Says, maybe they could do a toilet paper on a pole match for WrestleMania. Cameron Johnson, thank you for the super chat. Says, better WrestleMania 19 or 17? Well, look, I answered this question. If you want the answer to that question, go back last night, the beginning of the Dynamite stream. I talked about that because it was the anniversary of WrestleMania 17, 19 years ago. And I said, you know, some people think WrestleMania 19 was the better Mania, and then I kind of gave my thought on that whole thing, so go back and watch that. The Awesome Heel, thank you for the $2. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $5. Two live shows back-to-back, you know, with more to come. With more to come. Let me know if, let me check something here. I think we're good. I want you guys to tell me if there's any, there shouldn't be any lag. I changed a whole bunch of settings. I knew I was going to go on video for this, and my laptop's been kind of on the fritz. So it's a little laggy for me right now, but everything looks good. So hopefully it looks good for you guys, too. We don't have any issues here. Adam Fried, thank you for the $10. Tony Boylan, shout out to Tony. And Steve Winyard from the UK. Thank you to Steve. So I told you that I was going to talk about the Fan Council. I'm sure you've seen this by now. I tweeted it out. If you missed it, I'm going to show you a picture here. This is, I guess, the... we can call this the virtual fan experience. I guess you can call it. This is a Fan Council survey. Now, for those of you who don't know what the Fan Council is, there is a mailing list that you can get on, although right now I think it might be closed. As it fills up, it gets closed off. And they will periodically, WWE and their third-party vendor, whoever it is that puts these together for them, will send out these surveys, much like the one you see on your screen, and they will ask for feedback. What do you think of these superstars? What did you think of the pay-per-view this week? What do you think of this idea? What do you think of that idea? And Stephanie McMahon had made a comment to Variety last week, indicating that they were considering ways that maybe they could have kind of virtual fans joining during WrestleMania and future shows, maybe from the PC. Well, in the Fan Council survey here, they're asking about that idea, and they give screenshots of what that might look like. And that's what's on your screen right now. There you see all the different fans Skyped in, right, around the border of the screen. You'll see the next screenshot. There you go. They have it on the sidebar. That at least is a little bit cleaner. I'm all for trying new ideas. If they insist on continuing to do these shows, they're going to have to try new things. Now that I see it in practice, I do not like this idea at all. And you guys were overwhelmingly negative in the feed. Well, I mean, we're all wrestling fans, but you were overwhelmingly negative in the comments when I asked everybody, what do you think of this idea? And I have to agree with all of you. I think this idea sucks. When I first heard what Stephanie said, I thought maybe they were going for almost like CGI. Maybe not CGI is the right way to describe it. But somehow projecting an audience maybe behind the ring, in the background, instead of the empty seats that we were seeing those first few weeks. This concept here is far too distracting. And of course you have the issue of, unless all of these fans are planted, and they could very well be, it could just be a bunch of WWE employees. But if they're not planted, you're just begging for trouble. You are begging for trouble. Because it's only a matter of time before somebody flashes their dick or flashes their ass, or they say something they shouldn't say, even if there's a delay. What I don't like about it is when they're on the screen like that, if that's what their idea is, all they're going to want to do is get over. They're going to want to get over. They're going to exaggerate their reactions, which everybody does now anyway. After what happened at WrestleMania 30, we've had that ever since. Everybody exaggerates their reactions. It's not genuine. It's distracting. If this is what their concept is, as far as I'm concerned, they can junk it. I don't like this at all. I think it would actually detract from the shows. It would make it impossible to watch these shows. It would make these shows completely insufferable. So you can, if you are on the fan council, let your voice be heard. Because if it came to USA Network, you can't turn it off. If it came to the WWE Network, you might have the ability to turn it off. I've been advocating for years for a mute switch for the commentary. And I still haven't gotten that. So I don't know that we would be able to turn this off, but I agree with a lot of you. I think this is a terrible idea. So how it might be applied to WrestleMania, I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out this weekend. 24 Advantage, thank you for the super chat all the way from Germany. Andrew Jorlog with the 1992 donation. Oh, if only he says it was 1992. I long for those days, especially now. 1992. What I wouldn't give to go back to 1992. Noah Foster, thank you for the $10. Says, I feel like if Vince McMahon was not in power, this event would not be happening, and you would be correct. You would be correct. GMC 1022, thank you for the $10. Why not just simulate WrestleMania on 2K20? Would be far more entertaining. Yes, but you forgot to mention it would also be far more glitchy. WrestleMania would glitch out in the middle of the show. Spade Racing, thank you for the super chat. I am working from home. And Bristol Rovers fan, also with the contribution. We'll get back to the rest of this stuff here in just a little bit. As we move along here, we've got 16 matches. 16 matches on the WrestleMania card this year, which sounds like a record to me. It either ties a record or it is a record. I can't remember another WrestleMania show that had 16 or more matches. Not saying it hasn't happened. I know we've hit 15. I know we've had at least 15. 16, I don't know. I'd have to go back. I'd have to check Wikipedia and see if there have been more than 16 matches at a WrestleMania. And before we get to the card, I actually do have to show some love to a friend of the podcast. And this is something pretty cool that you guys should get in on. Our friends at WrestleRumble.com. They're hosting not one, but two WrestleMania contests this week. They have their traditional pick'em, and they have a wild prop pick'em. The traditional one is geared more towards picking the winners and the length of each match. Top prize, $500. $500 is the top prize. Prop Pick'em features tougher questions. For example, how many suplexes? Or as Cody said on Dynamite last night, suplex. How many suplexes is somebody going to throw? How long will the Undertaker's entrance be? Questions like that. Top prize, a winged eagle. Replica championship belt. And I don't know if you guys can see it behind me here. Here we go. Move out of the way. You see on the wall behind me. That was a gift from a fan. Shout out to Matt, by the way, if he's not watching right now. Shout out to him. That was a gift from him a few years ago. My all-time favorite championship. is that belt right there. Right there behind me, the Winged Eagle title. I love it. I've always loved it. I had it re-leathered. It's one of my prized possessions. And you can have your own. You can have your own Winged Eagle if you were to win the contest. Winners are going to be announced on Tuesday, April 7th. All entrants into either contest automatically entered into a free drawing for the Edge Spinner Belt. And that's going to be a random drawing that takes place this Monday after WrestleMania. You have until 7 p.m. this Saturday to enter. So my advice to you, do not wait. Do not wait too long and miss out. Go to WrestleRumble.com to enter for your chance to win championship gold. Championship gold indeed. All right, let's get into this here. Does not look like there are going to be any battle royals this year, which is just as well. That would violate the recommendations against gatherings of 10 or more people. Same reason that AEW decided to delay its Blood and Guts match, right? They would not be able to have kept that number to 10 or less people. You factor in the referee, you factor in the camera people. Just the rules of a War Games match. You can't do it. So I don't know about you guys, but I certainly don't mind there being no Battle Royals this year. Now, these matches are in no particular order, okay? The only match I know for sure that is airing on Saturday is the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match. Owens kept referencing Saturday, this Saturday, on Raw Monday night when he was talking about his match. The others I've heard I'm not as confident about, although there's got to be at least one women's championship match on that first night. I just don't know which one that's going to be. We'll see. I think it might be the NXT title match with Charlotte and Rhea, but don't quote me on that. We have Otis of Heavy Machinery taking on Dolph Ziggler. A battle in the name of Mandy Rose, who has no role in this match as I am sitting here right now recording this. Or I guess I'm not recording, I'm live. But that could change on SmackDown tomorrow night. Maybe she ends up as the special referee. Maybe we get Mandy on a pole. I might have to change my my $10 Russo on a pole Super Chat donation. I'll make it, $11 Mandy on a pole. This has been, and I bet a lot of guys would like to see Mandy on a pole, but that's for another day. This has been the best storyline going in WWE for months now. This has to be the moment that Otis gets his revenge. Are we going to get the reveal of Sonya Deville being the one behind the text message? Remember the whole text message on Valentine's Day? I still say she was the one behind it. Did she conspire with Tucker? Did Tucker and Sonya come together and say, listen, this relationship is not meant to last. We've got to do something to keep these two apart. Maybe they're both in on it. Only thing is, I don't know. You know, it's an undercard match. You got 16 matches at WrestleMania. How much storyline progression can you really have time for? I almost think that should be kept for television. But Otis should get the win here. And Otis should be able to steal a kiss from Mandy Rose. My only wish, my only hope for this is that there would be a crowd there to give that kiss if they do come together and have you know, one big kiss in the middle of the ring. It really needs that giant reaction. People would go nuts if Otis got the girl, even just for one night. Place would go nuts, and it sucks. Sucks that they're not going to be able to get that. They've been building this thing up for months. We've got Aleister Black against the Almighty, right? Is that what he's still the Almighty? Bobby Lashley, right? The Almighty one. Bobby Lashley was quarantined. I don't think he was sick, but he was on a PR tour. He was doing PR in South Africa for WWE. Came back, went right into quarantine, which is why we have not seen him on television. So instead, we've seen Aleister Black killing dudes in 30 seconds, which is fine. But of course, I look at this match and I say to myself, why is it happening? Don't know. Don't have a good answer for you. Just a random slap-together undercard match just to get these two guys on the show. Now, Aleister tried to explain it, or they tried to have him explain it. I don't know how many of you even saw the interview on the WWE YouTube channel after his match on Monday night. He did an interview. He said, you know, everybody is saying, what sense does it make? Why does it make sense that I'm wrestling Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania? He says, you know, I've seen Lashley go around decimating everybody. He's been decimating all of his opponents. Well, so have I. I've been decimating my opponents as well. And so why don't we have a match and find out who can decimate who the quickest? That's as good of an explanation as I've heard so far as why this match is even happening. And I'm going to say that Aleister Black wins with the Black Mask. I guess he's not undefeated anymore, right? Didn't AJ beat him? But he should not be losing in this match. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. Zach Walker with the $10. WrestleMania is officially broken, he says. Jonathan RMB, thank you for the support. Champ God, is it Champ or Champa? I think you might have left the A off there. Champ God, thank you for the $1.99. Stay safe, he says. Obi-Wan sent a $13 super chat. Buy or sell the best first year for Masked Monster, Kane 97-98, or The Fiend in 2019 and 20... Really? Are you going to compare the original Kane to The Fiend? Really? Come on. I like The Fiend. Okay, don't get me wrong. You're going to compare that to Kane's debut at the end of 97 into the beginning of 98. It's the easiest buy or sell I've ever had. Obi-Wan, I love you, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan all the way from the UK. It's Kane, of course. Of course it's Kane. I don't even know why you would ask such a question. Anthony Marine, thank you for the $5. Undertaker's Unholy Trio. I have a thought on that. He talked about the Unholy Trinity. I have a thought on that. I'm going to get to that later. Lord Frieza, who sent me a very nice email the other day. Thank you. He's on his lunch break. Wanted to show his support. And Ben Burnside, thank you for the $2. Do you think New Jack could fit in NWA today? No. No, I don't. Haven't Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana been through enough controversy? You want to throw New Jack in their lap? Really? After the whole Cornette stuff and everything else, now there's a plague out there and they have had to shut down shows for like 3 months. You want to welcome New Jack into the NWA? You out of your mind? You must really have it out for these guys. The Street Profits defend the Raw Tag Team titles against the makeshift team of Angel Garza and the man who Zelina Vega on Monday night said was the hottest young star in wrestling, 22 years old, out of NXT, former Evolve champion, Austin Theory. Talk about random. We saw Austin Theory make his Raw debut this past week, and Andrade is sidelined. He's got a rib injury that he suffered on Raw 2 weeks ago. So the U.S. champion is out. Everything has just fallen apart. I mean, originally they were going to have Rey Mysterio against Andrade, or maybe some kind of... I thought they were building to a four-way. With Rey and Andrade, Humberto, and Angel Garza. And I would have had Garza win the championship at WrestleMania and start building, you know, a little bit of tension between Garza and Andrade, Zelina's men. And then it all fell apart. Rey's under quarantine. I think he's okay, but he's under quarantine now. Andrade's hurt. This whole card has been completely snake-bitten, and they've got nobody to blame but themselves. So, in walks Austin Theory to randomly team up with Angel Garza. They wrestled a six-man tag. It was Rollins, Garza, and Theory against Owens and the Street Profits, right? I believe that was the match on Raw Monday night. And, you know, as far... Look, Austin Theory, clearly they see big things for him in the future, and I think he will have the chance to become a big star. Very premature to have him on the main roster right now. Case in point, the missed dive on Monday night. Montez Ford almost killed himself. He did a dive out of the ring. Austin Theory is on the ground. He looks up. He sees Montez coming. What does he do? Nothing. And Montez goes splat. Right there. Boom. Right on the metal ramp. He was okay. But that was very scary. And yeah, that was they showed a few replays of it. He's very lucky he didn't get hurt. Like, seriously injured. But that was very, very nutty. There's no reason to take the titles off the Street Profits. Not with a makeshift team. Nobody believes that Austin Theory and Angel Garza are going to be a long-term team anyway. So I think it would be dumb to take the titles off these guys. I also learned something this week that I was not aware of. So I was concerned. I knew the show was taped, but I was concerned after I saw the Montez Ford dive. I said, boy, I wonder if he's had anything to say about what happened. or, you know, if he's okay. So I went to go log on to his Twitter page. And I come to find out that Montez Ford has me blocked on Twitter. I'm blocked by Montez Ford. Very random. I don't think I've tweeted Montez Ford one day in my life. So obviously he's one of those WWE guys who vanity searches his name. And I guess if there's anything he perceives about him as being negative, then you're on the shit list. I guess that's how it works. I was racking my brain. I said, what could it have been? You know, did I say something that I tagged him in and what? And I can't remember it? No. The only thing I could think of was right after the Royal Rumble. That was around the time that they were doing those segments where they were spoofing Weekend Update from SNL, right? And I know some people enjoyed those segments. I thought they were just totally just cornball, cringe, not funny. They had a laugh track in the background. It was awful. They did the best they could with it, but I thought those segments were terrible. I had one tweet. I said, hey fam, that Street Profits segment was pretty terrible. That's it. That's all I said. So that's the only thing I could think of that did not sit well with him. But you know what? I meant what I said. I regret nothing. It was terrible. Bite me. We've got Elias against King Corbin. I couldn't believe that. I wanted to go check on the guy's welfare, and I see that I'm blocked by Montez Ford. Unbelievable. But that's okay. I still like Montez. Elias and King Corbin. I don't care how many days. I don't care how many weeks. I don't care how many months. I am stranded here at home. I am on lockdown. I don't care how many months I'm under quarantine. I will never be bored enough to want to watch Elias against Baron Corbin. So that tells you my thoughts on this match here. I will say this, though. I am picking Corbin to win. I believe Corbin should win this match. I want to see King Corbin win this match. You might be saying, why would you want to see King Corbin win? Why would you care to see King Corbin win this match? I'm picking the King for one very specific reason. Flashback 1 year ago, WrestleMania 35. Everybody was saying Kurt Angle's retirement match. He should face John Cena. He should face this guy. He should face Jason Jordan. He should face all these different people, right? Everyone is fantasy booking who Kurt Angle's final opponent is going to be. And then WWE goes and picks Baron Corbin. And Kurt Angle has told the story since then. He had a conversation with Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon said, look, I want you to wrestle Baron. Are you, you know, I would appreciate it if you know, that was the match that I want to do. Are you okay with that? And he wasn't. Kurt has said that he had better opponents, but he's a company guy. What's he going to do? He's going to put the new guy over. And they had a very forgettable match. Kurt did the honors. He lost. Baron Corbin won. Baron Corbin then went on to win the King of the Ring. And I actually thought he had a pretty impressive performance in the King of the Ring. Him and Chad Gable, you know, came out smelling like roses in that tournament. Now look at Chad Gable. Fucking Chad Gable. Don't even get me started. So all these things that they did with Baron Corbin, he got to end the career of Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. And here we are 1 year later. And what is he doing at WrestleMania? You're going to have him lose to Elias in a nothing undercard match? Come on. Come on. Don't completely throw away whatever it was that he actually got out of being the man to retire Kurt Angle. It just feels like a waste to me. Feels like he's right back where he was before, and what happened a year ago is completely negated, and it means nothing. Make it mean something. Should not be losing to Elias at WrestleMania. I know people, I don't hate Elias. I don't want people to think that I'm hating on Elias like I hate his guts or, you know, anything like that. But Elias to me is just, you know, he's a nice middle of the card act. Nothing more, nothing less. And whoever they have, you know, plans for going forward should be the one to get the rub at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I think that's Corbin. So he's my pick here for this match. We saw on SmackDown last week, he tried to murder Elias. He knocked him off that perch 8 feet, 10 feet up, 12 feet up, however high up it was. They had that comical sound effect when he hit the ground, the thud. It was like something out of a cartoon. Maybe Elias gets his revenge, but that would be salt in the wound, I think, for those of us who want to see the guy who beat Kurt Angle not be, you know, completely, not have that Kurt Angle match. I don't want to say that I'm disappointed that Baron Corbin is not, you know, holding a major championship right now. We got enough of him in the feud with Roman Reigns. But anyway, that's my thoughts on that match. So we have, actually, before I go on here, I want to show some love before we fall too far behind again. Mike from Bensonhurst, here in New York, watched WrestleMania 11, could not help but think Bret Hart's matches against Diesel were always better. Good Friends, Better Enemies was a great match, but overall, Bret told a better story with Diesel. Better story, you mean, than Shawn Michaels, I assume. Might have left Shawn's name out. No, look, Bret and Diesel had some fine matches together. You know, the match at Survivor Series 95 was their best. They had a cage match at In Your House in 96 before WrestleMania. That was good from what I can remember. Shawn and Diesel had a fantastic match in April of 96. WrestleMania 11, I didn't like the match at all. Didn't like the finish, didn't like the match. So, I don't really have much more than that. I mean, how many more matches did Shawn and Diesel even have? I can only think of those two, as far as TV matches. Oofman Rules, shout out to him in the chat. He's one of the wrenches helping out here, the mods. Dice Man, what's going on, man? Says, what's good? Just doing my thing, man. Oofman Rules, thank you. Says he's watching and listening while he does Uber Eats. He's delivering food to all of you. So show him some love. Mr. E, 1976, with the $20 drop. Wow. Thank you. Says, please be safe out there. So right back at you. Matthew Rice, thank you for the 10 bucks. And Lucas Baca with the $2 super chat. Thanks for the content. Hope you are well. I hope you're well, too. I hope everybody is doing well and staying safe out there. Asuka and Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors, defend their WWE Women's Tag Team titles against the former champions Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Do Alexa and Nikki have a name? I was thinking about that. Do they have a team name or not? I don't think I've ever heard them referred to by a team name. Maybe we'll have to come up with one for them. I like Alexa. I do. You look at Alexa. I mean, what's not to like? But she pinned Asuka on SmackDown with a DDT. Perfect timing for that super chat. Brandi Rhodes' face. That's exactly the face that I made when I saw Alexa Bliss pin Asuka with a DDT on SmackDown last week. That's the perfect timing for that super chat to pop up. That's what I thought of that. I would like to forget that that happened. Now the problem is, let me just take a drink here. Man, I've got this dry cough I just can't get rid of. Should I be worried? Should I be concerned? Should I self-quarantine myself? Here's the problem. The problem is, this is a dead division. This women's tag team division, it's a dead division. And this company treats it like a complete and total afterthought. I mean, seriously, what other teams are there right now? If you had to make a list of the top five, let's say, women's tag teams in WWE, who would they be? When was the last time the Iconics were even on TV? At least on SmackDown, you've got Sasha and Bayley, right? They could always team up again. You've got Mandy and Sonya. Two teams, by the way, that could very well be breaking up soon. In storyline, it's possible. It is possible. So who even knows if those teams will be teams anymore in a few weeks? But that's more than I can say for the Raw brand at the moment. I think Alexa and Nikki take back the titles. I think Asuka needs to branch back out into singles competition anyway. So I'm going to say that Alexa and Nikki regain the championships. Then we have the Intercontinental Championship. Now, Drew Gulak pinned Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown last week. That earned his buddy Daniel Bryan the right to challenge Sami Zayn for the IC title at WrestleMania. Gulak, he earned Bryan's respect after their match at Elimination Chamber. Gulak has been trying to help Bryan, right? He's been trying to help him plug holes in his game. This could be one of the show stealers of the night if they get time, and I think Bryan wins the title. I'm picking Daniel Bryan to win back the Intercontinental Championship. He won the Intercontinental title, WrestleMania 31. So I think we see here 5 years later more of the same. And I think when he wins the title, I think that his next defense could very well be against Drew Gulak. Hell, I mean, look, this could be a way to ultimately get the championship onto Gulak. Maybe Gulak turns on Bryan. Maybe it's all part of some greater plan that, you know, he's got hidden away in some PowerPoint presentation that he hasn't shown us. Right? He's all about strategy. That's all this guy ever talks about. I'm going to show you your holes in your game. I've mapped all this stuff out. Right? He's always thinking about these things. Wouldn't he be conspiring against Bryan to win the championship? What a plan that would be. But first, Bryan has to win the title. And I think he does. So I'm calling for a title change there. Jimmy Anderson, thank you for the super chat. And KC DeMost says, buy or sell. Who's better, Manami Toyota or Medusa? Both very talented. Manami Toyota, I think, is pretty well regarded as one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. And what limited stuff of hers I've seen online, on YouTube and whatnot, she's incredible. So you put me on the spot, I got to say Manami Toyota. Luis Alejandro with the $5 super chat. Food Hive, thank you for the $2. And Jesse Cam, thank you for the $10 Russo on a pole, bro. Thank you, bro. Bro, they interviewed me, bro, for Dark Side of the Ring next week, bro, on Vice. Dark Side of the Ring, bro. We're talking Brawl for All. Jim Cornette, he's going to come after me again. He hates my guts, bro. That's going to be... I could go either way on that Dark Side of the Ring. Dark Side of the Ring has been disturbing so far this season. Now they're going to lighten the mood a little bit next week. They're going to talk about the Brawl for All. Bart Gunn's in there. They're going to interview him. Jim Cornette, Vince Russo, Jim Ross. I just don't see the appeal in it, but we'll see. I think we all need a come down after the Benoit stuff and Eddie and then New Jack trying to murder people. We got to have a come down. This is the cool down episode. This is the cool down version of Dark Side of the Ring coming up next Tuesday. So anyway, thank you, Jesse, for the $10 super chat. SmackDown Tag Team Championships. John Morrison and The Miz. They were set to defend their titles in a triple threat ladder match against The Usos and The New Day. Then Miz got sick. And so he is off of WrestleMania, which reportedly leads to this being changed either to a singles match with Morrison against one of The Usos or a three-way singles match, a three-way ladder match, also involving one of the members of The New Day. So a little bit of confusion about exactly what the match is actually going to be. I don't know for a fact it would still be a ladder match. That's just my understanding. And so if it's a ladder match, that makes me think that even though Miz is out, the tag team titles could still well be on the line here in this match, which I think would be dumb. But title or no title, I'm picking Morrison to win. I think Miz and Morrison retain their titles if they are at stake. I think even if they're not on the line, I'm going to go with Morrison. Morrison, you know, in a ladder match, I think is a recipe for some crazy spots. So this could be a fun car crash to watch and to pay attention to this weekend. Swan SSB, thank you for the super chat. Says, if Aleister Black is given the Universal or WWE Championship in the future, how would they handle the Saudi Arabia shows since he cannot go over there? Now, I've heard that. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's his choice. I don't know if it has to do with the... I've heard it has to do with the tattoos or the tattoo that's on his back. You know, there's people that go over there with tattoos, though. So I don't know if it's any one particular tattoo. I don't know if that's just bullshit and it's his choice not to go. I don't know. WWE's not going anywhere for a while. They're not going to Saudi Arabia, I don't think, for the rest of the year. And they're going to have to work that out with the Saudis as far as how that affects their deal, because I'm not sure we're going to get any more shows this year, let alone that they're going to fly their whole crew over to Saudi Arabia, because they're also dealing with this whole situation over there. I certainly wouldn't want to fly over there, would you? If you're one of these WWE guys, you're going to feel comfortable getting on an airplane and going to Saudi Arabia? I don't think so. I don't think so. But no, I don't know how they're going to handle that. Michael Cuomo, malicious intent, thank you for the $5. If you have to quarantine, does that mean more live streams for us? Well, if you want live streams, then probably yes. Probably. And Food Hive, thank you for the $5. How do they love the Russo impression, but not the Butcher and the Blade? I don't know. Some people just, they find it annoying. They don't like it when I say it. They yelled at me. They told me not to do it anymore. So now I just have to say the Butcher and the Blade. Some people don't like to have fun. Kevin Owens, he takes on the Monday Night Messiah. This is the one match that we know, based on what Owens said on Monday night, that is taking place on night one. So this is going to be taking place on Saturday at WrestleMania. The promo work between these two the last several weeks, I think, has been stellar. It has been fantastic. On Monday, Rollins, he laid out Owens with a curb stomp after their match. And then Owens went on to cut the best promo that I've heard him cut in forever. He was sitting in an empty ring here in this empty building, licking his chops after having his head stomped in by Seth Rollins. And it's just him and a microphone, just sitting in the ring in total silence. He called Rollins an arrogant dipshit. And they did not bleep dipshit, although they did bleep what Heyman said at the end of the show, which I didn't think was as bad as dipshit, but who knows how they make these decisions. He listed all of the championships that he's won. Kevin Owens, you know, he's won the Universal title, just like Seth Rollins. He's won the Intercontinental title, just like Seth Rollins. The U.S. title, just like Seth Rollins. Right? They've probably both been Raw Tag Team Champions as well. They've won a lot of the same championships. They've had a lot of the same accomplishments, a lot of the same achievements. And Owens said, look, I admit, every time I've won a championship, every time I've gotten some kind of big, you know, I've attained some kind of big goal, I've had to take a shortcut. I've had to cheat. I've had to gain some kind of a competitive advantage. He goes, but you know what? You have too. Every one of those WrestleMania moments that Seth Rollins has had, you've cheated. You've had to take a shortcut. You've had to take, the back road to get there. By the way, that is a lie. That is not true. Seth Rollins beat Triple H fair and square, WrestleMania 33. Seth Rollins won the IC title in that great opening match at WrestleMania 34 against The Miz and Finn Balor. He's had some accomplishments at WrestleMania where he didn't have to break the rules. And by the way, I'll go one step further. Okay, forget WrestleMania 33 and 34. Now, last year he cheated. I mean, come on. He gave Brock Lesnar a couple of low blows. Or was it no DQ? I don't remember. Was it no DQ? It might have been no DQ. I don't remember. But anyway, I would even argue WrestleMania 31. What was wrong with what he did? What was so bad about what he did at WrestleMania 31? He had Money in the Bank. Everybody knows the rules for Money in the Bank. You can cash in at any time. Everybody knows the rules of Money in the Bank. It's no big secret. They call it the heist of the century. All right, Rollins did nothing wrong, as far as I'm concerned, at WrestleMania. So, but he is a dipshit. So Owens was right about that. Rollins has lost his minions. AOP, they're out. Rezar just had surgery to repair a torn bicep. Right? Bicep, right? Torn bicep. So he's out. Akam is probably gone too. Murphy was held out of the Raw tapings. I don't know if he was sick or they thought he might be sick. He wasn't feeling well. Maybe he's there at WrestleMania. I guess we'll have to wait until Saturday and find out. But they're all gone. Rollins is all by himself. And so for that reason, I think Kevin Owens is going to pick up the win. I am picking Owens. He is my prediction here to win this match. We have Bayley defending her SmackDown. I'm trying to look at some of the comments in the chat as they go by here. Let me just take a look at everything's looking good. Right, we got a lot of people on board here. So a lot of people sitting around on a lazy Thursday afternoon here for the WrestleMania predictions. Vincent Alvarado, thank you for the super chat. Said you need to listen to the Talk is Jericho with Russo. No, I don't. AMMO sends in $10. My first live stream with Solomonster. Only quarantine can bring us together. Keep up the good work. Hey, I wish it was under better circumstances. Believe me. Let's see here. Bailey. God, there's a lot of matches on this show. Ugh. There's too many matches on this show. Even split up into the two nights. Even split up into the two nights. It's too much. Too much. Bailey defends her SmackDown Women's Championship in a fatal five-way against Sasha Banks, Lacey Evans, Naomi, and Tamina. Dana Brooke was 86th from the match after she got sick, and they told her to stay home. All these people getting sick. What, are they watching SmackDown in their off time? What's going on here? Bailey has run through most of these women already, except for her friend Sasha. They've been leaving little subtle hints of dissension between the two now for weeks. Bailey wants to protect her title at all costs. If I knew they were shutting things down for a few months post-WrestleMania, and I don't, there is supposedly discussion going on right now in WWE in lieu of, you know, the statewide order for, you know, everything that basically just shut down. They could very well end up going on break after next week. We'll see how that plays out. But if I knew that they were going to be shutting things down for a few months and then maybe coming back in the summer, which is probably very premature, but if I knew that, I would say Bailey retains and they take their time and they build to a singles match with her and Sasha. SummerSlam would be perfect because they are in Boston. And what better place for Sasha Banks to win the championship than in her hometown? But SummerSlam, I think, is probably ambitious at this point. But since we don't know what the hell they're doing, and there's a long time between now and SummerSlam, and they may well be running shows that entire time, not many other contenders, in case you didn't notice, in that division. It is an elimination match. I think they're going to shock people. I think they're going to shock people by having Tamina not win the championship. I almost got you there. But by having Tamina eliminate Bailey, let's say midway through the match. Midway through, she gets a shock pin on Bailey, which served Bailey right. Bailey was mocking Tamina a few weeks ago, pretending to be shocked that she was still employed. Oh, I didn't even know she still worked here. I think that might come back to bite her on the ass. But I think if that happens, right, it's an elimination match, that guarantees a new champion. Then Sasha Banks goes on to win the title. Doesn't have to beat her best friend for it. Doesn't have to turn her back on Bailey. That creates even more tension between the two of them. And that does build to an eventual singles match. So I am going to predict that Sasha Banks becomes the new SmackDown Women's Champion here on this show. Swan, did I already mentioned Swan. Did I mention Swan? Or did Swan donate again? I think he did. Swan SSB, you crazy bastard. Thank you for the super chat. Nola Sports, Nola Sports Fan, 1984, thank you for the $10. Here's to another Jack and Coke. Oh, it's too early for the Jack and Coke. I mean, I'm not a total degenerate. Although a few more weeks of this quarantine stuff and I will be. Says, going to need them to make it through this mania. Keep up the great work. Brett Brickfist Brode. Ah, yes. Brett, one of the contributors to the podcast. And Sean Waters, thank you for the $10. So it's been a nice escape, has the podcast for a few hours. Well, it's the least I can do. I was going to maybe save this and record it and upload it tonight, and I figured, you know what? It's probably a lot of people who are working, people who are, we heard from somebody before who does Uber Eats. I hear from a lot of people who are still out there, and they're contributing, they're working, they're doing stuff. I mean, far more noble than what I'm doing here, sitting here talking about pro wrestling. It's far more noble things to be doing than talking about WrestleMania, I'll tell you that. But I figure why not, right? We can all hang out here for a little bit, have a good time. Let's see here. Edge. We have Edge wrestling his first singles match in 9 years. Taking on Randy Orton. It is a last man standing match. I'm hoping this is one of the matches they filmed at a location outside of the PC, even if it was the back alley behind the PC. To me, this should have been a back alley brawl, or at least like a last man standing street fight, just combine the two stipulations. You know, Edge goes in there, tapes his fists up, That to me is the kind of stipulation that would work with a match like this. I think I don't blame WWE for this, but it is a crime that Edge's first real match back in 9 years, and it's at WrestleMania, and it's the best built match on the entire card. Better than any other match on this show. 16 matches. This is the one that has been promoted. I mean, again, I like the Otis and Dolph and Mandy stuff, but in terms of like big main event matches, this is the one. They have done a masterful job. The promo work from Orton, some of the best work he's done in years. Edge, best work I've seen from him in a long, long time. Of course, we haven't seen him in a long, long time. But here's this big WrestleMania match. Edge's first match back, he doesn't get that WrestleMania entrance. They're going to have the match in an empty warehouse, an empty performance center. Just, what can you do? I mean, it's not, again, it's not their fault, unless they just held out on doing WrestleMania at all. They could have done that, I guess, but it really is a shame. And I saw the promo that Edge did on Raw Monday night. He was in a room. I think he was backstage in a room somewhere. Excellent stuff. And he's talking about being in the audience at WrestleMania 6. To see Hulk Hogan against the Ultimate Warrior. I think he was the Hogan fan, right? He was the Hogan fan. Christian was there. Christian was the Ultimate Warrior fan. So they were two friends at odds. I'm sure a lot of friends were at odds heading into WrestleMania 6. We just celebrated the 30-year anniversary yesterday, April 1, 1990, WrestleMania 6, Hogan versus Warrior, Babyface versus Babyface. And to answer a question, I posed the question to everybody who was in the chat on the stream last night. I said, you know, yesterday was the 30-year anniversary of WrestleMania 6. It was also the 19-year anniversary of WrestleMania 17. Two epic main event matches, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, Stone Cold Steve Austin against The Rock, Part 2. I said, which match do you think is the most epic when you look back on it? What match to you feels more epic, Hogan Warrior or Austin Rock? And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with how old you are. So, if you're a young kid, or if you just were not watching wrestling back then, you might not care about either one of those matches. You're more likely to care about Rock and Austin, to remember that more. I realize I never gave my answer. And my answer is I didn't even have to think twice about it. The more epic of the two matches is Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Now, you could argue quality-wise, what was the better match? You could argue Austin Rock, but what match just feels more epic when you go back and watch it and you think back to the build-up and everything? It's Hogan Warrior. It's not even close. It's Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. It's not an opinion. That's a fact. So Edge was getting into his promo on Monday night. He was talking about, how Orton was jealous of him, and he was jealous of Edge's passion. And he had this great line where he said, Orton was at his best right now. He admitted, Randy Orton right now is at his best. And the reason that Randy Orton is at his best is because Edge is back. And so because of Edge, Orton now is as good as he has been in years. In fact, the last time Orton was this good was 9 years ago. And I thought, ooh, that's a sick burn. That was good. That was a good line. Orton accepted a last man standing match, he said, against the man who dove head first through a table, flaming table, thumbtacks, and all that kind of stuff. And basically he said, this time you talked about how I helped pull you out of a dark hole many years ago that Orton had fallen into in his life and in his career. He goes, this time I won't be there to save you. I thought that the way that Edge delivered this, the passion in his voice was great. Absolutely fantastic. Who wins? It's got to be Edge. It's Edge's first match in 9 years. I mean, he's going to do more matches. I don't know how many. He signed a mega contract. I mean, supposedly it was a contract worth something like $9 million. And then this happened. So imagine that. You sign a big deal for multi-millions of dollars. It's like Hulk Hogan when he used to talk about Ted DiBiase. He was never the million-dollar man, right? He was the multi-million-dollar man. Edge signed a multi-million-dollar contract, supposedly, to come back to wrestle a X number of matches on big pay-per-views. And now this company might be going on break. Who knows if Edge is going to wrestle again after this for the rest of the year? It's a good thing he signed when he did, right? He signed at just the right time, unlike the Revival, Well, Dash and Dawson, they're not exactly in a great position right now. Let's see. Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair challenges Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship at WrestleMania. On Monday night, they replayed the main event of last year's WrestleMania, which was Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey. And we've seen Charlotte replayed on television recently, her match with Asuka from WrestleMania 34. Two of them had a very good match, and Charlotte beat Asuka, broke Asuka's streak. All these accomplishments that Charlotte has had. Is she like a 10-time champion by now? Is it 10? I think it's 10. And Charlotte has already been NXT Women's Champion. You could talk about there being different incarnations of the championship and stuff. She's already been the NXT champion. So I had one person say to me, well, they want Charlotte to win so that they can say she won all the titles, not just the Raw title and the SmackDown title. And I had to point out to this person, you do realize that Charlotte, before she did any of that, was already NXT Women's Champion. So her winning the championship accomplishes nothing. I mean, she becomes the first main roster person to win, go back and win an NXT title. Who cares? Who cares? Is that some kind of big deal? Is that supposed to impress me? Is that supposed to be some kind of big, impressive accomplishment? Because it's not. I think Rhea Ripley is going to win. I think Rhea Ripley should win. I would like very much to see Rhea Ripley pick up the win here in a competitive match. Charlotte is positioned as, you know, being just the queen of the women's division. So a win over her at WrestleMania would be huge. It would be huge for Rhea Ripley. And there's no reason to put Charlotte back on NXT. The other argument would be, well, you could put the NXT Women's Championship back on her, and it gives a little jolt to NXT on Wednesday nights. They have a member of the main roster now. Charlotte can defend against all these different people. She could defend against Bianca Belair. She could defend against Candice LeRae and Tegan Knox. And they've got a ton of women's talent on that show. Io Shirai. Yeah, you'd get a few fresh matches out of it. But a boost to NXT. A jolt to NXT. Do you realize that Charlotte had a match that was promoted in advance with Bianca Belair on NXT? I think it was Bianca. Was it Bianca? I can't remember now. I think it was. Yes, I believe it was Bianca. On NXT television, it really made no difference in the ratings. So if you're looking at it in terms of ratings, NXT head-to-head with AEW, we've already been there, done that with Charlotte. It didn't make a difference. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I think Rhea gets the win. I think Rhea gets the win. If it were up to me, Rhea would get the win. What's going on in the chat here? I feel like I'm missing out on all of the conversations. And shout out to, again, our mods, taking care of some of the spam there in the chat. Appreciate the hell out of them for helping me out here on a Thursday afternoon. James Adams and Lamont Ambler. What's going on, guys? Let me take a swig of water for the working man. That was Steve Austin says, right? Swig of beer for the working man. I don't have beer. I have water, though. Don't have beer. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Too early for beer. Tibbs316, look at that. Crazy Jeff Hardy. Freaky Jeff Hardy super chat. Hope you're taking care of yourself during all this madness. Best wishes to you. Best wishes to you as well. Best wishes to you as well. Best wishes to everybody who is in the chat right now joining us here this afternoon. So now we move into some of the real big matches here on this card as we go down the list here. This is the next match that we're going to be talking about here. AJ Styles taking on The Undertaker in a Boneyard match. Since they don't want to call it what it is, which by all accounts is a Buried Alive match. So they're calling it a Boneyard match. I guess there'll be fake bones strewn all over the ground and tombstones and graves and souls and shit. All that kind of stuff. So what led to this? How did we get to this point where we're getting an AJ Styles Undertaker match here in 2020? We saw The Undertaker win the Tuay Trophy, the Saudi Arabia show back in February. He gave AJ Styles a horrible chokeslam, and he pinned him with a chokeslam, never even took his gear off. Undertaker had the long black trench coat, he had his hat on. The Undertaker never even took his hat off. He beat AJ Styles and never took his hat off. So then you fast forward to Elimination Chamber, right? He got the better of him again. And so here we are. AJ issued the challenge. He wanted a Boneyard match. That promo that Undertaker cut on Monday night to open up the show was probably the best of his entire career. I don't think it's a stretch to say that. I really did. And think about the longevity that this guy has had in this company. Think of the longevity that he has had. I think this was certainly one of, if not the best promo of his entire career. Not a guy who really is known for cutting promos either. He did when he was the American Badass and Big Evil, and he had some good ones. But this was just on another level. That's how good this was. He was fantastic. If he could just make an entrance and cut promos like that without doing a full match, he could go another 20 years and I wouldn't care. I would be perfectly content with that. So The Undertaker, as you can see, he was shown in a dark place. Undertaker was in a dark place. He was in a dark room here, lots of smoke, lots of blue light. And he was wearing a do-rag and a leather coat, like Biker Taker, but without the bike. He called out Alan Jones, since they're on a first-name basis, since we're being real now, since we're shooting, called him by his shoot name, Alan Jones. Undertaker said AJ must either have big balls or he's really that stupid. He's heard a lot worse from better people, but he admitted that some of AJ's words were true. So Styles was right not to want to face him 10, 15 years ago. Said AJ was happy being a big fish in a small pond because he could not hang with the likes of Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Mick Foley, Eddie Guerrero, Booker T, and Edge. Says AJ waited until they were all gone before he finally showed up. Now, supposedly, this ruffled a lot of feathers behind the scenes with some of the talent. Because it makes it sound like the current generation of guys are just chopped liver compared to those guys. And honestly, I don't know that I would completely disagree with that too much. A lot of that has to do with the booking of these guys, not their raw talent. But I don't think he's totally wrong in that. But I can see why that would bother them. I could see how some would look at this as a burial of a lot of the current roster guys. Undertaker said he understood why AJ said what he said, but he crossed the line when he mentioned his wife. Michelle McCool said that AJ was upset. Really, AJ was upset because she did the Styles Clash better than he did. Michelle McCool used to have her finishing move was the Styles Clash. She called it the Faith Breaker. She is a woman of faith. And so she called it the Faith Breaker. Honestly, you know, there were people on Twitter comparing the two and showing side-by-side images of them doing the Styles Clash. Oh, AJ did it so much better. And Michelle McCool didn't have a bad Styles Clash. She really didn't. It really wasn't that bad. So they incorporated that into the promo here, and not only did she do a better Styles Clash, he said, but she got it over. We've got Smark Undertaker here. He's shooting in this promo. He promised to make AJ famous. He hoped that AJ brought those two ass clowns, he said, Gallows and Anderson, with him to WrestleMania, because he would be bringing his own unholy trinity. Says Styles is going to get hurt, he's going to suffer, and he is going to rest in peace. Then the camera panned out to show the tombstone that you see on your screen with AJ's name on it. So this whole unholy trinity idea is fascinating to me, because it could just be a throwaway line, or it could mean more. It could mean something. It could mean that he's bringing back up with him. That was my first thought. Who's he going to bring? You know, Kane would be an obvious choice. He could bring Kane. He's going to bring Mankind. Who's he going to bring with him? And then I was thinking about it. I said, you know, I fall into the camp, and I know some people believe the same thing, and I'm starting to believe this myself, that it may not be a case of Undertaker bringing back up with him. It may not be a case of Undertaker. By the way... Oh man, in the chat, who said that in the chat? Champagne Freddy 210, Champagne Freddy 210 called him Smark Calloway. That is fucking awesome. That is fine. I would super chat you if I could, just for that comment. Smark Calloway. Fucking priceless. That's what he was here in this promo. He was Smark Calloway. But I was thinking of the Unholy Trinity stuff. And the more I think about it, I think he might have been referring to different incarnations of himself. I think he might be referring to different incarnations over the years of The Undertaker. So, remember, this match was already taped. It was already filmed. They can edit this thing any which way they want to. They could have fun with it. They could turn it into a Hollywood movie, like they're supposedly doing with the Firefly Funhouse match. They can do anything they want. They could have teleportation, like AEW did with Broken Matt. So maybe we get the original Grey Glove Undertaker. You know, maybe we get a version of Ministry Undertaker. There's been so many different versions of Undertaker over the years. I mean, we've had Grey Glove Undertaker. We've had Purple Glove. Purple Glove Undertaker is underrated. He's one of my favorites. Purple Glove Undertaker was great. We've got Teardrop Undertaker, who I guess went to jail or something. Who knows? We had Batman Undertaker at Survivor Series 96, right? I'm trying to do the Batman thing here, like my Hitman shirt. Bret Hart, right here. Pro Wrestling Tees. He's got a store. Great shirt. So we have Batman Undertaker. We had Ministry Undertaker. We had American Badass Undertaker. We had Big Evil Undertaker. We had the Big Evil Dead Man Hybrid mix when he came back in 2004. We had Bald Undertaker. Now we've got, Old Undertaker. We've got Smart Calloway. All these different versions of The Undertaker. Pick the three best. Pick the three ones that you love the most. Maybe we're going to see three different incarnations of The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Now, if I'm totally wrong, and that's not what we're getting, and he's going to actually bring backup with him, Kane and Undertaker would be two obvious choices. But there's a name that I haven't seen mentioned, and I think they could really do something very cool here. Kane is an obvious choice. I could see Kane being there, right? It's his brother. But what if it wasn't Mankind, Big Show? I've heard Big Show's name floated. What if it was Sting? We're not going to get a match between Undertaker and Sting. We already know this. I'm not sure it should be happening anyway. They're both old. It would be a sad kind of shell, I think, of what a match between the two 20 years ago might have looked like. But what if they flew in Sting under the cover of night without anybody knowing as a little surprise? What if he came out from one of the graves, had the baseball bat in his hand, Crow Sting with the face paint and everything there to help the Undertaker? It would be one way of getting the two of them on screen together in some capacity. Wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. That'd be a nice surprise. So, who knows? Maybe it's Kane and Sting, or maybe, like I said, it could just be different incarnations of The Undertaker that we're going to see. Undertaker has gotten the better of Styles at every turn so far. He got the better of him in Saudi Arabia. Got the better of him at Elimination Chamber. Cost him that match. Cost him two matches now. Styles should get the win. By that logic, AJ Styles, I gotta throw the guy a bone. It's a fucking boneyard match. You could literally throw him a bone and let him get the win. I don't think he's going to. I think Undertaker's going to win. I think Undertaker is literally going to bury him in a shallow grave. We talk about people burying each other. I think AJ will literally be buried by The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So that is my prediction. Let me switch over here so you guys have the number. For those of you who do care in a little bit, we'll take a few calls. So there you see it on screen. What's going on in the chat? Mr. DeJesus, thank you for the $2. I think that was James Herrera, Deadpool, with the $5 super chat. So shout out to him. Good to hear from him. As always, good to hear from my PayPal VIPs here on the live streams. We have Becky Lynch defending her Raw Women's Championship against Shayna Baszler. This all began with Shayna's vampire bite. We had True Blood Shayna Baszler. Looking back on it, even more ridiculous than it was at the time. And it was pretty fucking ridiculous when it first happened. 1 year ago, Becky Lynch became one of the first women to ever headline a WrestleMania. Nobody could ever take that away from her. She will always have the distinction. She will always have the distinction of being one of the first three women to ever main event a WrestleMania card. And she won the Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship all on the same night. She dropped the SmackDown Women's title fairly quickly after that, but she has held on to the Raw Championship ever since. It has been one full year, and she has yet to find a foil. She has yet to find a rival as compelling as Ronda Rousey. She had a great match with Sasha Banks at Hell in a Cell, but that feud is far too quick, far too short for it to really make much of an impression. Ronda was to Becky as Batman is to the Joker. And Becky has yet to find her Joker since Ronda Rousey left. Now, on Monday, this was totally goofy. She came out on stage for a promo, and she was talking about the match at WrestleMania last year. And then she said, why don't we take a look? And they literally replayed the entire fucking thing, including the entrances. Now, you factor in the commercials, this took up, I mean, it felt like an hour of the show. Every time they would go to commercial and come back, or I would step away, I'd be like, I'm going to go do something else. I would come back, I'm like, this fucking match, it's still on. So they killed almost half the show by showing this match. And, you know, I know it was a taped show, so I'm sure, you know, when Becky came out, she wasn't standing, I certainly hope she wasn't standing there for 45 minutes looking at a screen. Boy, would that be fucking dumb. But watching it on television, it looked as if she walked out and stood there for an hour. Then they cut back to her and she finished her promo. And she talked about Shayna Baszler being in the shadow of her friend Ronda Rousey. And after WrestleMania, she's going to be right back where she was. She's going to be right back in the shadow. Right back in the shadow of Ronda. And Baszler came out. She put her in the Kirifuda clutch. She slammed Becky headfirst into the side of the announce table, just like she did Liv Morgan at the Elimination Chamber when she smashed poor Liv's head like Gallagher smashing a watermelon right into the side of that pod inside the chamber. And then Shayna posed with the championship before walking away. It has been 1 year. It has been a full year. The time has come for Becky Lynch to have her reign ended as the Raw Women's Champion. Even Stone Cold, at his peak, never held the championship for very long, right? He was always chasing it most of the time. The interest now is in the chase. Baszler wins the championship, is my prediction, and Becky then has to fight to get it back. Which brings us to, brings us to one more Super Chat. Joey Hall. Actually, it's not a Super Chat. He just subscribed to the channel. Thank you for the sub. That's just as cool. Always picking up new subs here on the channel, so thank you for that. John Cena. John Cena has had a very weird few years at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 32, he was hurt, but he made an appearance. Ironically, it was to help The Rock against the Wyatt family. WrestleMania 33, he tagged with Nikki Bella against The Miz and Maryse, and then he proposed to her. He proposed marriage to Nikki Bella. For all the years that we heard John Cena didn't want to get married, John Cena didn't want to have kids, John Cena finally said, you know what, I'm going to give this woman what she wants, I'm going to propose to her in the middle of the ring, and then we all know how that turned out. WrestleMania 34, he sat in the crowd for half the show, and then he got squashed in 3 minutes by The Undertaker. And last year, he didn't even wrestle a match. He showed up as Thugonomics, the doctor of Thugonomics. He cut a promo on Elias. So for someone who is really as big of a name as he is, he's one of the biggest names in the history of the company. He has had a very odd few years at WrestleMania. And so here we are now at WrestleMania 36, and it only gets odder because now John Cena faces The Fiend in a Firefly Funhouse match. This was said to have been taped at a warehouse. It's going to be filmed like a movie. I think that's great because you do a Firefly Funhouse match. I mean, you're talking about a guy with puppets and, you know, the official t-shirt, by the way, for this match, if you go on WWE Shop, calls it the Firefly Slaughterhouse, which I think is even cooler. They should have called it a Firefly Slaughterhouse match. You need to just go all the way over the top. If you're going to do a match like this, you got to do it right. You got to go all the way over the top with a match like this. So you need funhouse mirrors, you need puppets, you need chainsaws, the whole nine yards. They do the entire match as puppets. Like, if they don't even wrestle and it's just a bunch of puppets and they have like a puppet fight, I will fucking die laughing. Could you imagine, like, in a fucking diorama or something? I used to make these dioramas in school with a fucking shoebox. If this turns out to be, like, a diorama match, just a bunch of puppets fighting, and Bray Wyatt gets his win back over John Cena, but he gets it back as a puppet. Oh, my God. Bray Wyatt is going to get his win back. Bray Wyatt is going to get his win back over John Cena. He has waited 6 years for this. They sacrificed him to Goldberg for this. He lost the Universal Championship for this. They did all of that, only to have him lose to John Cena again. And then have John Cena just disappear back to Hollywood. There's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. The Fiend must win. The Fiend will win, is my prediction for this match. Brumakian Productions, thank you for the $2. For Brumakian. Buy or sell worst mania. Oh, hold on. Buy or sell worst mania. WrestleMania 9 or WrestleMania 11? Yeah, I like WrestleMania 9. WrestleMania 9's not great, but I think WrestleMania 9 gets too much hate. I really do. WrestleMania 11 sucked. WrestleMania 11 sucked. It just did. So, yeah, I'll say WrestleMania 11. And Matthew Rice with the $10 with two questions. Let's see. When this quarantine is over, do you think that the company should have a big pay-per-view event for SummerSlam in a stadium or book a loaded WrestleMania for next year? You know, the problem is, honestly, dude, I'm not trying to be a fear-monger or anything like that. I wish that I was as optimistic as some of you are. I don't see things going back to normal this year. I think the people who think, oh, in June, you know, June, July, you're kidding yourselves, man. You are really underestimating, I think, what is going on here. So I wish I could share in your optimism. I would love for SummerSlam to be the next big event back. It's going to be in Boston. I don't think they're going to move it. But I don't see it happening. I don't think that they're going to be ready for it to happen. Here's the thing. You got to remember something also. When we get to a point finally where maybe things can start to go back to normal, right? And some of these restrictions get lifted. And that really is only going to happen when they can figure out kind of a solution to this. People are going to be very, very tentative about going back to big arenas and big stadiums, right? So they'll start going out again and they can go to the movies and socialize with friends and people. I don't know that a lot of people are going to want to be the first ones out the door to go to a stadium with 50,000 people. Or they're going to want to be that person who says, hey, I'm ready to go to an arena with 20,000 wrestling fans. I know I wouldn't. I'm going to have a 3-year moratorium on that. I don't even upgrade my iOS on my iPhone when a new version of the operating system comes out, because I know there's going to be a lot of like bugs and kinks. I'm like, let everybody else deal with that. Let them work it out. Once I know it's safe, I'll upgrade. I'm applying the same logic here. Let everybody else start to venture out when they start to feel a little more comfortable. Let's see what happens. When everybody is safe and everybody is okay and nobody's getting sick, then I'll start to venture out and go to events again. But you're going to have a lot of people who aren't going to be so quick to want to go to these shows. You try to fill a stadium with 50,000 people, good luck. Try doing that in the next 12 months. I don't think you're going to find too many people who are going to want to go out and do that on day one. And let's see here. He had a second question. I think he had a second question. No, that was his question. So thank you for the question. Rainier1992, thank you for the super chat. And Lamar Smith, whoa! I thought I saw some red out of the corner of my eye. $50! Holy shit! Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. He says he's been listening to me since 2016. He was stationed in Korea. It's my grandfather. My grandfather was stationed there in the Korean War. Says, is The Rock and Stone Cold the only two wrestlers to main event WrestleMania twice against each other? No, it's happened. It's happened multiple times. The Rock was, you know, The Rock did it with John Cena, WrestleMania 28 and 29. The Rock did it. The Rock did it more than once. So that tells you the kind of star The Rock was. All right, we get to the Universal Championship now. Goldberg. Goldberg was to have defended his Universal title in a Battle of the Spears against Roman Reigns. We now know that Roman Reigns, he has pulled out of the championship match at WrestleMania by his own admission. He went on Instagram and said so. He is not going to be wrestling at Mania this year. He pulled out because WWE was too negligent to pull a guy who had two bouts with leukemia before. So instead of pulling him out himself or themselves, Roman went and did it himself. Good for him. Taking his place, we are expected to find out on SmackDown tomorrow night who the big replacement is going to be. I don't know if they're going to do an injury angle. I don't know if they're just going to be honest and say, look, Roman had to pull out of the match for health concerns or health reasons. I don't know. This is wrestling, so they'll probably... we've seen Roman almost killed before, right? Somebody tried to run him over. Rowan tried to run him over with a car. They did a big whodunit angle with a forklift. Maybe they'll try to drop an anvil on his head this time, like something out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Who the fuck knows? But we do know who the replacement is going to be. And taking his place is going to be the monster among men, Braun Strowman. Same Braun Strowman who failed at every opportunity that he has ever had to compete for the Universal Championship or the WWE Champion. Did he wrestle for the WWE title? I know he wrestled a whole bunch of times for the Universal title. He has been a colossal failure when it comes to winning the big one. He has failed at every turn. So now he gets slotted into this match cold. Ice cold. Didn't even have a match coming into WrestleMania. And now he's going to be challenging for the championship. Strowman is a full-timer. Goldberg is a part-timer. But they sacrificed The Fiend's reign as champion to put the title on Goldberg so that he could shift the championship over to Roman Reigns. No doubt in my mind, that was going to be the plan. There's no way Roman was going to WrestleMania and losing to Goldberg. So they took the championship off The Fiend to do that. And now Roman is out of the equation. So what do? You put the championship on your backup quarterback? It's basically what Strowman is. He's your backup QB. Is that what you're going to do? We just have to get the championship off Goldberg, so we'll just put it on the next best thing. You know, Brock Lesnar, when he was younger, they called him the next big thing. I guess Braun Strowman now is the next best thing. To me, you don't do that. You don't do that. If you are potentially going to take a break soon, if you're going to go on hiatus for at least a few months, it's not like they're necessarily going to be running shows every week. Anymore, then keep the championship on Goldberg. I say keep the title on Goldberg. There's no reason to take it off him. You put it on him for a very specific purpose in the first place. That purpose was not to move it to Braun Strowman or else he would have had the match at WrestleMania. Right? This is clearly the backup plan. They need a warm body to go in there and wrestle Goldberg. The match will not be very long. The match may not be very good. But maybe it will be. You know, he had a big hoss fight with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33, 5 minutes, 6 minutes long. That was a great match. Right from the opening bell, those two guys went at each other like two big bulls, man, and never any downtime, never any, rest holds or anything like that. So who knows? Maybe Goldberg goes in there. There's no crowd this time, but maybe he goes in there and has a great four-minute match. And in those 4 minutes, what should happen? He should probably give Braun Strowman about five spears and pin him. We know he's not getting him up for the jackhammer. We know that already because he tried to get Bray Wyatt up for the jackhammer and he couldn't even do that. He could give him a suplex. Or a suple. But five spears probably is about enough, I think, to get the job done. And that's how I see this match playing out. I would not put the championship on Braun Strowman. I wouldn't do it. Yeah, everyone's going to be sitting at home soon anyway. Let Goldberg sit at home. Then you can come back in the summer, the fall. You can have the makeup match. You could do him and Roman. Maybe it's somebody else you want to put the title on. You could do the match you wanted to do. Do it later in the year. That's all. And let Goldberg go in there and he can put down Instagram influencer Braun Strowman. You can put him down and pin him 1, 2, 3. So I say Goldberg retains. That's what I would do. And let's knock out a few more super chats here. Anthony Marine, thank you for the $5. Buy or sell Another John Cena Randy Orton match where Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin. Oh, come on, man. Really? You're going to torture me like that. I'll say John Cena Randy Orton just because we haven't seen it in a few years. Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns, I'm done. I'm done with that. Andrew Reed, thank you for the $5. Says, who would win a fight between me, Don Tony, and Dave Meltzer? I got to say something. Dave Meltzer, for all the shit that he gets, he's got some arms going. You know, he's a little cut up. You know, he works out. His old photos of Meltzer walking around with the big guns, right? Showing off for everybody. Sitting in the crowd at PWG with his notepad and his bulging biceps. I don't want to mess with Meltzer. It's the quiet ones you got to worry about, right? Keeps to himself. Quiet guy. Kind of weird a little bit. But if he goes off, I wouldn't want to be around. So, I don't want to mess with any of those guys. I like all those guys. But thank you, Andrew. And Canadian Oddball, thank you for the super chat. I'm mad about the way they treated The Fiend, even more so now that the match is not even happening. What a disaster. Well, you reap what you sow. Who knew that this was going to happen? But you know what? This is what you get. This is what happens. When you fuck up, this is what happens. Yes, it was a complete disaster. Who knew that the plague would hit? But it was a totally just stupid boneheaded move on their part. And that leaves us with one match. We've come to the end of this card. 16 matches. 16 friggin' matches on this card. Oh, man. Now we got a lot of Big Dave. A lot of Big Dave comments, right? Why do they call him Uncle Dave? So creepy. Why do people call him Uncle Dave? I never understood that. Am I the only one who found that to be creepy? We come to the end of our match card here. Brock Lesnar defends the WWE Championship against the winner of the 2020 Royal Rumble, Drew McIntyre. What a moment it was at the Royal Rumble when McIntyre, he Claymore kicked Brock right over the top rope, and they panned out in Houston, right? Minute Maid Park. And everybody is going nuts. Everybody is jumping up and down. It's a big celebration. It was this great moment. Then, of course, he went on to win the Rumble, got another big ovation. And so here's Drew McIntyre. And I feel bad for the guy. Because these guys, in some cases, you know, they work their whole career to get to a moment where, oh, I can be in the main event of WrestleMania. CM Punk, all he used to do is bitch and moan. How come this guy gets in the main event of WrestleMania? I didn't get my WrestleMania moment. You know, he wanted WrestleMania 29, I think, that year to be a triple threat. And I agree. WrestleMania 29 probably should have been a triple threat. And I'm not a big fan of doing multi-man matches in the main event. But you could have done Punk, Cena, and Rock. I know why they didn't. They had this whole story mapped out. It had to be Rock and Cena. It had to come back to the two of them. If there was ever a year, though, for Punk, it would have been that. So I can understand him being upset about that at the time. But this is what people aspire for. You want to go to the main event of WrestleMania. You want to get that big entrance. You want a big pyro. If you're lucky enough to win, you get the big championship celebration. So this is what they all work for. And now here's Drew McIntyre. He wins the Royal Rumble. He was fired. He left the company. He had to work his way back up. Then he got hurt. Then he healed up. They've been just waiting with him now. There was a period where they really weren't doing much with him, and now they finally came around on the guy. And they pulled the trigger, and they gave him a Royal Rumble win. And now he gets to go to WrestleMania, and, you know, instead of being in front of 70,000 people and winning the championship, he's going to be in an empty building. He's going to be on an empty building at a taped show with nobody in attendance. You know, could they have saved his moment for later? Could they still potentially save his moment for later? They could. You know, they could delay things and wait. I think that would be a mistake. You know, right now is a time when they need to get this guy. They need to convince people that this guy is the real deal. And they took that first big step at the Royal Rumble. You can't then send him to WrestleMania like they did with Roman Reigns 2 years ago in New Orleans and just beat him clean. Now, Roman at that point was already a made guy. So everybody knew, okay, Roman lost. Everybody was happy in the building that night, even though that match sucked. They were shocked and happy when he lost. But Roman, we all knew Roman was going to get the championship at some point. Drew, who knows? If Vince McMahon gets bored, could be on to the next, you know, the next flavor of the month or whatever. He's not been established yet. He doesn't have that safety net that guys like Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins and people like that have. So this is a big moment for him. Now, on Monday night, Paul Heyman stood in the ring and he cut a promo. He talked about all the big names that Brock Lesnar has beaten before. He said, look, this is not the first time that Brock Lesnar has been in the final segment of the Go Home show. And this will not be the final time that Brock Lesnar is in the Go Home segment on Monday Night Raw heading into WrestleMania. He beat The Rock, he beat John Cena, he beat Hulk Hogan, he beat The Undertaker, on and on and on and on and on. All these people that he beat. Beat Rick O'Shea, right, in Saudi Arabia. Don't forget about him. But he said that WrestleMania, he's going to walk out as Brock Lesnar's bitch. He said Drew McIntyre was going to walk out of WrestleMania as Brock Lesnar's bitch. Now you're going to send the guy to WrestleMania to lose? May as well wash your hands with the guy if you're going to do that. You don't send the babyface in there to wrestle Brock Lesnar. Have the manager say, oh, when you lose, you're going to be his bitch, and then lose. Unless you're ready to move on to somebody else. So, the circumstances may not be ideal. I wish it were a better situation for Drew. I do feel bad for the guy. I do feel bad for him, but if you want people to take him seriously as the champion, you've got to give him a strong win. He's got to win. He's got to beat Brock Lesnar. And I think he will. So, I'm picking Drew McIntyre to become the new WWE champion. Canadian Oddball. Did I mention Canadian Oddball? Yes, I did. King Bling, $5 super chat. Thank you for that. And Dalvin Brown. Appreciate the support. Let me, before we get to some of your calls, I do want to mention this very quickly. Those of you who have been to WrestleMania in the past, you may have heard of Mania Crawl. Jamie is the one who sets it up every single year. He puts a lot of time and effort and work into it. I partnered up with him once on a SummerSlam weekend in Brooklyn for a joint event. And you know, we had Bill Apter there, and it was a really good time. So he was going to do Mania Crawl this year in Tampa, and then obviously now that's not happening. So instead, he's doing basically virtual Mania Crawl 7. This Saturday, beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern. If you want more information on exactly where and when and how you can be a part of it and how you can watch and donate and contribute, because all the money that he raises, I believe all of it goes to Connor's Cure. That's the other thing he does every year. All the money he raises goes to Connor's Cure, which you may have heard WWE promote, you know, Connor's Cure before. It's a great cause. And so go to twitter.com/maniacrawl. And all of the information that you need will, if it's not there now, it'll be posted there in the next day or two. So I wanted to show some love for Jamie and Mania Crawl because he does a really good job with it. And obviously he, like everybody else, was dealt a bad hand because he had all these plans and now all those plans basically were flushed down the toilet. Which is too bad because he probably can't find toilet paper like the rest of us because all you fucking people keep buying up the toilet paper. But that's beside the point. Go to twitter.com/maniacrawl. And you can get all the information you need on that event going on this Saturday. So let me shoot on over here and see what's going on. We have a whole bunch of calls actually in queue. So we'll take a few calls here. You guys can let me know what your predictions are. Any big predictions? Maybe some surprises you think we might be seeing in store for WrestleMania this weekend. And we will kick things off here. Let's go to, I think this might be Florida Man. I'm not sure. 407?
Ooh,
407.
Yes, sir. How you doing? How you doing, Solid Monster?
I'm doing good. How are you doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Oh, I'm freaking going stir crazy, man, because I need to work. I love working, man.
You and the rest of the world, apparently there's about 6 million people who are not working right now, so it's a shitty situation.
Yeah, it is. I just want to say a few things. You know, this WrestleMania may be like the biggest afterthought I've ever seen in my life, like when it comes to wrestling shows, because, I mean, this is just, it just seems like a just glorified house show to me with all of this stuff going on, because I'm like, you got no crowd. you know, most of the matches haven't even had really any kind of good build-up besides the two you were talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
I also wanted to touch on something you said a couple of years back, and I'm starting to see it more and more, that you said that you think that Vince McMahon may be afraid to let his stars get too big.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you look at guys like Rock and Cena who are big movie stars and they don't need wrestling. And I think that's why Vince McMahon keeps cutting the legs out from under these stars. He's not letting them get too big because he's afraid that they're going to go off and do things and they won't need him in his business anymore. They won't be around to generate money. And I'm like, I'm starting to see that more and more. Like, he's letting Reigns get up there, but he's like, let's not let him get too big to where he can go off and do things bigger than us. I think Vince McMahon is afraid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think he wants it. I don't think he likes it when people, you know, leave and go to Hollywood, or they think they can just leave. They've made enough money and they can just go off and, you know, do other things. He probably feels like he's been burned by some of these people before. You know, I think they've gotten to a point where in their mind, the company is bigger than any one person. You know, the days of Hogan and Austin, like these big megastars, are over. You know, it's not a matter of John Cena is coming to town, Roman Reigns is coming to town. It's WWE. WWE is coming to your town. WWE is coming to your city. And I think that's probably the way they like it. If you want to hear something that was very fascinating, and I know he sometimes will say some crazy shit, but on his YouTube channel, and it might have been an interview, he was being interviewed or doing a podcast maybe with Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc., but Ryback on his YouTube channel was explaining how the downside guarantees work in WWE with your contract. Because there are people right now who have already met, like the Revival apparently are not being paid. They are not being paid by WWE. They hit their downside guarantee. The company now is under no obligation to pay them, especially if they're not going to re-sign with the company. I'm sure there's some bad blood there. But it was fascinating to listen to him explain how the whole downside guarantee stuff works. And when he was working that Hell in a Cell match years ago against CM Punk and getting that big push and he was, you know, in main events, he said he was going broke at the time. Nobody knew. But he was going broke. He had to cancel his cable. He was, you know, trying to make ends meet. And yet, this guy's wrestling in a pay-per-view main event. So, you can go. It's probably up on Ryback's YouTube channel. If you ever wanted to know how that whole downside, what is the downside guarantee, and how do they work, I thought he did a very interesting job in breaking it down. His philosophy is the reason that you a lot of times will see WWE calling up newer guys, like guys from NXT. Is because they don't want to pay people. Like, if the bigger you get, the more money you're going to make, or the more money you're going to want to make. So they'll call these new guys up because they know they can pay them a low downside guarantee and they can get away with it because they're just happy to be there. So I think there's a lot of truth to what you said, but you can head over to Ryback's channel. Check out that video. I thought it was very interesting.
That is true. And I just had one more thing I wanted to add. I mean, if it had not been for you, I wouldn't even know what the hell is going on in WWE. But I look around, and I'm disappointed on how they just beat the talent down. I mean, you look at Asuka and Kairi and Ricochet and all of those people, man. Like, Asuka was a killer, and it pisses me off every time I see her now. I'm like, come on, man. You know, she had a aura around her like she was just a monster. And look at her now. She's getting beat by Alexa Bliss, of all people. I'm like, I almost hope that her, you know, she goes back to stardom and that Kairi goes back too, because there's nothing here for them. You know, so that's pissing me off. And just do you think that a woman's promotion right now could work in America where these women could go to that and be a little bigger than what they are?
No, I don't think a women's promotion would, especially not now. I mean, there's going to be a lot of companies that go under, like independent companies that were doing well before, who are going to go under with everything going on. So this would actually be the worst time to start up an all women's promotion. And you will find some promotions that are all women's promotions, Shimmer, you know, being the one that I always think of, and they can have success. But if you're thinking of it in terms of, could there be an all women's promotion that can really rise up and get a big TV deal like AEW did and stuff like that. I don't see it. I just don't see there being the level of interest in that. WWE did one Evolution pay-per-view. I don't remember how well it, I think it did well enough, but I don't remember. I guess, look, if it did that well, they would have come back with a second one. So it obviously didn't do that well. So that probably tells you something right there. You would really have to have a lot of talent, and a lot of the talent right now is either signed to WWE or they're signed to AEW. So I'm not really convinced that something like that would work. Is he still on? Oh man, he may have dropped. Now there he is. I was gonna say Lamont. Let me put him on here. Lamont Ambler, light him up. 203, you're on the air.
Hey. Yes, sir. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right, man. I'm hanging in there, man. At
Good.
least I can get some damn tissue out here.
Well, good for
But
you. That's more than I could say for
anyway,
me.
man.
Yeah.
I know we all fighting a good fight,
Gonna
man.
send some my way. You need to fold that shit up like origami and fly it over to me, and I'll catch it out my window.
Oh, shit.
Motherfucker.
Tennessee, the great Muda
There
style.
you go.
But, hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I agree with you about the Firefly Funhouse. They need to go all out for it with a little blood or something. Like you said, an action movie type. There's nothing else really to do with it because it's not in the ring, hopefully. Not.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think
It just
unless in this warehouse it's some kind of weird like Firefly ring that they set up. My understanding is it's just in a warehouse and they set up some kind of it's probably like a fun house type maze or something and creepy music maybe
Okay.
like brooding music playing in the back. I'm just speculating now. Yeah, so
Yeah. But here's a question. If they did it right, I watched a little bit of NXT last night. They had Dexter. Oh shit.
Dexter Loomis?
Loomis.
Yeah,
Dexter Loomis.
Dexter Loomis,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, and I seen how he's portraying. If they built him right, and I could see something they could do with Aleister Black. What do you think about that? Like a match, if it was built right.
A match between Aleister Black and Dexter Loomis?
Yes. If it's built right.
Look, you could do any match if it's built right. We saw Lance
Right,
Archer
right,
against
right.
we saw Lance Archer, basically kill a child, a young child on Dynamite last night when he destroyed Marco Stunt. That's a match that you would look at and
Yeah.
go, "How's that match going to work?" But they made it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could. I
Yeah,
find it
absolutely.
funny that we saw Dexter Loomis on NXT like a year ago. And then he just disappeared, and we never
Right.
saw him again. Now, I haven't seen NXT last night yet, so I'm taking it that he was on the show and he had a match. I'm going to watch it later, and I'll
Yeah.
watch it myself. What I remember
Yeah.
about him the last time he made an appearance is he had pretty cool music, unless they've changed it. It was like pretty creepy.
Yeah, it's still decent.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, I think that could work, but yeah, you just got to build it up. You got to build it up over time.
Right. And think about Uncle Dave, they got it from Jim Cornette.
Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah, I don't think Jim Cornette
Yeah.
is too fond of Uncle Dave these days. That's my sense.
Don't think so either, but I'm gonna let you go, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, man. Thank you for the support.
No problem, man. Have a good day,
All
man.
right, you too. So that was Light 'Em Up, Lamont Ambler, one of the VIPs of the Sound Off family. Let's take a couple more, then we'll wrap up here as we approach 5 p.m. here on the East Coast. Almost dinner time here on Thursday. I have no idea what I'm going to do for dinner. I had a peanut butter sandwich last night. Maybe we'll do some tuna. I'm trying to conserve. Got a lot of cans of tuna. I want to run through that. I had a very weird dream. I don't even know if I should tell you guys this, but I had a very weird dream last night. You would think it was a dream about Anna Jay from AEW, but it was not. But I had this weird dream the other day where I was on the hunt for food for my cat. And my cat died last year. My cat died a year ago, actually last month. So all the more reason to absolutely hate the month of March. But I am out and about looking for Fancy Feast, and I'm looking to buy cans of food. I'm ready to fight people. I'm ready to fight them off. if I have to make sure I can get food for my kitty. And I manage to find food, and I come home, and I'm getting ready to feed her. And I put the food in a bowl. It's the wet food. And I guess I kind of turned my attention to something else for a second. I turn back, and I start eating. I start eating what I think is tuna fish, and I look down, and I realize that I'm eating cat food. And then I freak out, and I woke up. I have no idea what it means. I think I'm slowly descending into madness. I think everybody at some point soon is going to. With me, it seems to be happening a little faster. So I have no idea what it means. Maybe it means that in a year, we're all going to be eating cat food and dog food if things get worse. All right, you watch The Walking Dead, you basically just eat whatever you can find. All right, maybe we're on our way to the zombie apocalypse. I don't know. But I was eating Fancy Feast, and it tasted a lot like tuna. It tasted a lot like tuna. I wonder if we could actually have a Fancy Feast, or if that would be unhealthy for you. These are the questions I ponder on a day-to-day basis. 804, you're on the air. Please save me. I don't know what I'm talking about here.
I'm wondering
do
if...
Do me a favor. Turn down the volume in the background because I could hear my voice.
Okay, so I'm thinking about Roman Reigns and Goldberg for the Universal title. I'm just thinking, like, if it's going to be spear versus spear, but if they think of the difference between their finishing moves, I'm going to go with Roman for the Superman punch, and my dad is picking on Goldberg. I have no clue who's going to win or not.
I hate to break it to you. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the match has been changed, and so it will not be Roman Reigns wrestling at WrestleMania this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is this your first time hearing about this news? Because this news has been out for about a week now.
No.
Yeah. Now, I just got done talking about the main event of WrestleMania. Maybe you came in late to the stream, but I don't know if... You know, I won't spoil for you who the replacement is. I have no idea who wins, but we do know who the replacement is. Would you like to know who the replacement is?
Yes.
It is Braun Strowman. You sound
Are
shocked.
Are you the person that's talking on the iPad? That's him, Gavin. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow, this call's blowing me away here. No. Braun Strowman is going to be challenging for the championship at WrestleMania because Roman Reigns pulled out. He pulled out of the match.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you the person that's talking on WWE on the phone?
I am talking about WWE right now. Is that your sister in the background? Is that your little sister right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell her not to watch the Fiend wrestle John Cena because the Fiend is going to murder John Cena at WrestleMania. I'm sorry. I got to let you go. Sorry. I just blew his mind. I'm sorry. Ooh. What can I say? I got to warn the kids. The kids need to be aware of what's going on. Now, if I didn't warn that child just now, he would watch WrestleMania. He would watch John Cena be torn to shreds. He would be scarred for life. I just did that kid a favor. Don't look at me. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to hell. 502. Is this Chris?
Yes, it is. How's it going, Mr. Mosta?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You're a true humanitarian.
I have to protect the children. I do everything that I do for the youth of America.
I get it. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm pretty much agreeing with you. I'm hoping that Becky Lynch, I hope that she, you know, drops the belt to Shayna. Hopefully they can do like a small little pursuit thing for the belt with Becky, you know, but I wouldn't mind seeing Shayna keep it. But, I wanted to ask you though, because you're a Lucha Underground fan. I'm a big Lucha Underground fan.
I am.
So I was thinking, do you think it would benefit WWE? I mean, I know they're not going to do it, but would it benefit WWE if they kind of took notice on how Lucha Underground did their, like, backstage production and stuff like that, just to kind of help boost their product right now, since, you know, there's no fans. These empty arenas are killing us.
Yeah, I think I think they could learn a lot from Lucha Underground, the way that things were filmed and shot. And we might see some of that this weekend, you know, at WrestleMania. We might see with the Firefly match and maybe the Boneyard match, how they shoot it. I don't think they're going to have the same shooting style as Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, it was so slick, you know, their production. It really did look like you were watching a movie. I think there's a lot that can be learned. I think it would probably just be better for them to not do any shows at all at this rate. But if they do insist on carrying on, yeah, I think there's a lot that can be learned. You know, but you got to remember the key thing about Lucha Underground, it wasn't just the way it looked, right? It wasn't just the way it looked. It was how they kind of booked the talent on the show. And, you know, the people who were the most popular, I guess you would say, nobody was really complaining about the way they were handled. You didn't have the same kind of complaints with Lucha Underground. How come they, you know, went in one direction with this character? They were going this way, and then they went this way, and now they're burying this guy, and it doesn't make any sense. It really did feel like more of a TV show than a wrestling company. But I trusted the writers on the show. I trusted the writers on Lucha Underground to do the right thing. More often than not, they did. I think wrestling is, worse off. Wrestling is worse off for not having them around anymore. And it sucks that they never got that proper ending. You know, they just never got enough money to continue on. And so we never got a nice little bow put on some of the stories and the characters. It just was kind of left hanging, and it sucks. And now most of the talent they've already signed somewhere else. So, you know, even if Lucha Underground was to come back one day, you would have to come back with a whole new cast of characters. I miss Dario Cueto. I think I miss him the most. More than anything else. 979.
Yes, Mr. Solomon. First of all, hello again. It's good to talk to you on another live stream like this. I just got a real quick question for you.
Sure.
With the whole issue with a lot of the comic book artists and comic book writers, more importantly, being let go from companies due to issues with distribution and the virus that we all are talking about, whether it was or not. And with WWE having to cut costs wherever they can, since they've got so many, quote, writers on their staff, would it be interesting to see if maybe they would decide to say, well, let's get rid of some of the writers we're paying all this money for, let's hire some of these comic book writers who already appeal to a much younger demographic with a lot of their characters and may be able to do some stuff, even though it's not going to be superhuman, but to do some things to maybe spice up the product as they're going through this stuff.
Look, everybody, I think everybody's position and everybody's job is going to be on the line the longer this thing goes on for. And if they think, if they have to take a break and they're not writing any television for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, then what do they need 30 writers for? So you're going to find that some people are going to be expendable. I mean, it's happening in every company across the country. There's people who are fighting for their job and fighting to keep mine. You know, I'm no different than everybody else, and it's a scary time. So, yeah, I think it's possible that could happen. Is it going to change the way they do television? I don't think so. I think this is a company that seems very set in its ways. You know, they have their formula. They have their routine for just kind of doing things the way they do them. I think it's going to take a change from the top. I think it's Vince McMahon's vision. Unless Vince McMahon steps aside, I honestly don't see much changing in terms of how they do their TV product.
Okay. All right. Well, I will leave you with my Macho Man impression because I hopefully will make somebody laugh.
Go for it.
There are some people, that are in positions they would rather not be in. You know, but I'm here to tell you, the Macho Man's here to let you know we're going to fight to make it through. You're going to be right. Yeah. Dig it. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, that was great. I go 7 out of 10 on that impression.
Appreciate that. You have a good one. Take care.
You too. Thinking. Uh-huh. That's my Macho Man impression. Uh-huh. Let's see. Why don't we do one more here? Let us go to 319. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Andrew from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, did you know Roman's actually wrestling at Mania and they're all just messing with us smart marks?
You know what? That would be hilarious if that were the case. If it was all just one giant swerve, and then all of a sudden Roman Reigns walks out at WrestleMania and he just spears Goldberg and wins the championship in 20 seconds.
Hell yeah. He got through cancer and then we started cheering for him. Now we're feeling sorry for him again. And then he's going to be like, hey guys, I'm actually back. So thanks for the belt and the cash.
Well, that would turn him heel. That would be like Hollywood Roman. Actually, that could work. Hollywood Roman could work.
That would work. I just got one quick question.
Sure.
Before the Benoit documentary, what would probably be your favorite wrestling documentary that comes to your mind?
Oh, you mean before the Dark Side of the Ring on Benoit?
Yeah, because I know you're going to say that's your favorite. So before that.
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't necessarily say that was my favorite. I mean, I've seen a lot of good documentaries. Honestly, I keep going back to Wrestling with Shadows just because it was the first of its kind that I can remember seeing that really took you behind the scenes of what was going on in like the big company. And it was fascinating to watch. And then I only wish that they had the punch on camera when he punched Vince McMahon in the face. But, you know, I think Wrestling with Shadows is in the conversation. If I had to pick another one, you know, the documentary that they did on the resurrection of Jake the Snake, that one might have been the best one that I've seen. They did a really good job with that one. And now, you know, you see Jake, he's, you know, seemingly still doing well, and now he's signed with AEW, and he's really gotten his life back in order. So it's not like, oh man, you know, that documentary was great, but Jake's falling off the wagon again. He seems to be doing well. So I would say the resurrection of Jake the Snake is up there as maybe the best one I've ever seen.
That's probably one of mine too, because mm-hmm. It's like I've seen Celebrity Rehab, and then it's like the next week, it's like breaking news, this guy just robbed a bank.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, this, you can't take that show seriously.
Yeah.
And one more question. How do you think you got really popular, like, in the past couple of years? Do you think it was TV tracks or something? Because I just remember you just came out of nowhere.
Like an RKO, I guess. I came out of nowhere. I've been doing the show for 12 years. It's always weird when people say, like, I never heard your content before, because, yeah, I give a lot of credit to Trax. I'm going to let you go. But Trax, and I get questions to this day, like, what happened to TV Trax? You know, where is he? Is he okay? Is he alive? Honestly, I don't know. I think he is. I hope he's doing well. I used to be in contact with him. I've reached out to him a couple times in the last couple of years, and I haven't heard anything back, but he just got burned out. You know, the last conversation we really had about things when he was stepping away, he was just burned out on everything. And YouTube would, you know, maybe sometimes hit certain clips with like strikes for something. He'd have to go in there and he'd have to, it's like playing whack-a-mole, and he'd have to take clips down, and it just got too much. You know, it just got too much. He gave my show, I know, you know, DTKC as well, a lot of exposure on his channel at a time when I think that was around the time that I had split away from SE Scoops, if I remember. I used to be on SEScoops.com, split away, went out on my own, wasn't sure what was going to happen because I didn't have that built-in audience anymore. I was very worried about that. And then the audience just continued to grow. And a lot of that had to do with the exposure on Trax's channel. He was just a fan of my show. And he said to me one day, you know, can I, you know, help you out a little bit? I can run some of your clips. I said, sure, go for it. Because at that time I said it would be great exposure, and it just sort of exploded from there, you know. And I can't put a percentage on it, but a lot of the people I've asked before, oh, how'd you first hear about the show? A lot of them first heard about the show through those clips on Trax. So when Trax went away, I had to make up for that somehow. I said, well, what am I going to do? I said, I got my own YouTube channel. I wasn't really using my YouTube channel. I said, I put like pay-per-view reviews and stuff up there, interviews. I said, we got to start using the channel more often. And I get a lot of help from, shout out to Steve Mello. He is he just does a tremendous job on the artwork that you see right now. Even this artwork here for this video and the frame, everything, he, you know, without his help, I wouldn't be able to do this. None of this would be possible. Sal Rex, he's worked on a lot of quality stuff for me before as well, as far as layouts for pay-per-view videos. So I've had the great fortune of being able to work with some very talented people who are a fan of my work and just wanted to contribute, just wanted to help out in some way. And what can I say? I mean, I've been very lucky, you know, that the show has caught on and it's gotten more popular as time went on. I'm not, you know, as big as, you know, the Stone Cold podcast or Talk is Jericho or any of these shows by the wrestlers. But I have a very loyal audience. As you can see tonight with all these super chats, I'm going to wrap those up in a second. I am very fortunate to have a very loyal audience. And right now, times are very challenging. I don't know where things are going to be in a month or 6 months or anything like that. I'm going to keep doing my thing. I hope you guys will stick with me as much as you can, because I know there's a lot of people hurting right now. But I am very grateful for all of your support, including Ian Loomis, who sent in a super chat earlier with a buy or sell. A pint with Baron Corbin or a pint with Jeremy Corbin? I get the sense that Jeremy Corbin is not all that popular, but I'm not big on UK politics, so maybe I'm totally wrong on that. You guys can smarten me up. I'd rather have a pint alone. How's that for an answer? A. Lavelle, thank you for the $10. And Leroy Rollins, not to be confused with Leroy Jenkins. We've all seen the Leroy Jenkins video, right? It's a classic. Leroy Rollins, thank you. Solomonster loves the kids. Let's not spread rumors now. Out of context, that sounds wrong. Solomonster looks out. He cares about the kids. He looks out for them. I was just looking out for that kid. I saved him a lot of heartache this weekend. It's going to go down as one of the weirdest calls I've ever gotten into the show before. So I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in the stream tonight. I hope you guys had fun. I hope you, if you were working or bored or whatever, I hope you helped take your mind off things for a little bit. The plan for this weekend, I'm going to be live here again, maybe on video, maybe not. We'll see. But I will definitely be going live again this Saturday night when WrestleMania Night 1 goes off the air. Episode 646 of the Sound Off will drop on the feed, so Podbean, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, all the platforms, Sunday, by early afternoon. On Sunday, that'll be episode 646. We'll talk WrestleMania Fallout from Night 1. We'll talk Dark Side of the Ring with New Jack, RSPW Rewind, and then I'll figure out if I'm going to tack on the audio for the Mania Night 1 review. I might add that separately. We'll see. And then Night 2, WrestleMania, Sunday night, back again live on YouTube. So you're going to get Sound Off Overload this weekend. I hope you can all join me. I hope you can all join all the Super Chat action and everything that's going on. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'm going to let you go and go figure out what the hell I'm having for dinner. And I will see you back here again on Saturday night, right here on YouTube.com for WrestleMania Part 1, the big review, all the big matches, of which we only know one right now for sure, on Saturday, Rollins and Owens. Maybe we'll get the Boneyard match. We'll find out. Anyway, peace out. I will see you guys on Saturday night. Take care.